Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 51 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de with social media presences on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
Episode 51 focuses on the König-class battleships. This was the last series of battleships in the German Empire to be completed and was barely operational at the outbreak of the war. Until the commissioning of SMS Bayern in 1916, they were the most powerful battleships in the High Seas Fleet.
Political agenda and background.
None.
The sources that were used.
I will use the same sources as in the other battleship episodes. The sources in short: Admiral Scheer, Deutschlands Hochseeflotte im Weltkrieg, Germany's High Seas Fleet During the World War, published by Verlag August Scherl, Berlin, probably 1919, date of the foreword. Ulrich Israel, Jürgen Gebauer, Panzerschiffe um 1900, translation Ironclads around 1900, published by Brandenburgisches Verlagshaus, Berlin, 1998. Günter Kroschel, August Ludwig Evers, Die deutsche Flotte 1848 bis 1945, translation The German Fleet 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Lohse Eising, Wilhelmshaven 1962, Third Improved Edition 1964. Hans-Jürgen Hansen, Die Schiffe der deutschen Flotten 1848 bis 1945, translation The Ships of the German Fleets 1848 to 1945, published by Verlag Bechtermünz, licensed version for the Weltbild Verlag Augsburg 1998. And as usual, online sources as a supplement. The König-class battleships were intended to replace the now almost 20-year-old and completely obsolete Brandenburg ships. Development began while the previous Kaiser-class was still being designed. The main change was that the König-class now had all its gun turrets in a single line amidships, with no turrets on the wings. This allowed all guns to be aimed at a single target, without the major restrictions the Kaiser-class suffered from, which increased the ship's effective firepower. Further changes were discussed during the design phase. The British Navy was now using 34.3 cm guns, while the US Navy had switched to 35.6 cm guns. There was also talk of converting the ships to diesel engines and no longer using turbines. However, due to time and cost constraints, these changes could not be implemented. The 30.5 cm guns and turbine propulsion remained. Of the 15 boilers, 12 were fired with coal as usual and, an innovation, 3 with oil. Although the advantages of oil firing were clear, the Navy did not switch to full oil firing for reasons of security of supply. Coal could be produced in large quantities in Germany, but oil could not. A quick look at the aforementioned competition. The Iron Duke-class ships were built in Great Britain between 1912 and 14. They displaced almost 30,000 tons and were almost 190 meters long, over 27 meters wide, and had a draft of almost 10 meters. This made them significantly larger than their predecessors, the Orion and King George V classes. Their engines produced 29,000 horsepower, giving them a top speed of 21.25 knots. Their main armament consisted of 10 343mm guns with 12 152mm guns as secondary guns. The New York-class ships were built in the USA between 1911 and 1914. These were somewhat smaller and lighter, displacement of just under 29,000 tons, length 175 meters, beam 29 meters and a draft of 9 meters. The engines produced 28,000 horsepower, enabling a top speed of 21 knots. The armament now consisted of 10 356mm guns. The secondary armament consisted of 21 127mm guns. Somewhat later, the Bretagne ships followed in France. These were built between 1912 and 16. They displaced 26,000 tons and were 166 meters long, 27 meters wide, and had a draft of almost 10 meters. Their engines produced 29,000 horsepower and their speed was 20 knots. Their armament consisted of 10 340 mm guns, 22 138 mm guns were available as secondary guns. What could the Germans offer with their König ships? The König ships were slightly larger than their Kaiser-class predecessors. They were 175.4 meters long, 29.5 meters wide, and had a draft of 9.19 meters. They displaced a maximum of 28,600 tons. The turbines produced a theoretical 31,000 horsepower, accelerating the ships to 21 knots. In reality, however, the engines produced more power, enabling the ships to reach speeds of approximately 22 knots. However, due to the war, high-speed trials like those done with the Kaiser-class ships were only possible in the relatively shallow waters of the Baltic Sea. Their range was 15,000 kilometers or 9,200 miles. The crew consisted of 41 officers and 1,095 sailors. In terms of size and speed, the König ships could easily compete. The main armament consisted of 10 30.5 centimeter guns. Two turrets were located at the bow and two at the stern, each capable of firing over the other. The fifth was located between the superstructure amidships. The secondary armament consisted of 14 15 centimeter guns. Six 8.8 centimeter guns were available for close combat. For the first time, anti-aircraft guns were mounted on board a German battleship from the very beginning. Four 8.8 centimeter anti-aircraft guns were available. Finally, there were five 50 centimeter torpedo tubes. The torpedoes had a 195 kilogram warhead and could be fired at either 35 knots over 5 kilometers, 28.5 knots over 10.7 kilometers, or 25.5 knots over 12.5 kilometers. The firepower was rather weak by international standards. The Russian Navy continued to use 305 mm guns on its Imperatrizha Maria class ships, built from 1912 to 17, as did the Italians on their Andrea Doria class ships, built from 1912 to 16. However, the benchmark, the Royal Navy, as well as the United States and France, had upgraded to larger calibers. The Krupp steel armor was essentially identical to that of the Kaiser-class ships and was only reinforced in certain areas. This, however, was a great strength of the König ships. While they didn't have the firepower of the world's best battleships, they did have first-class armor. The König ships handled well in the water, but lost up to two-thirds of their speed in sharp turns and leaned up to 8 degrees to one side. A total of four ships were built, the SMS König at the Imperial Shipyard in Wilhelmshaven, the SMS Großer Kurfürst at AG Vulkan in Hamburg, the SMS Markgraf at AG Weser in Bremen, and the SMS Kronprinz at the Germania Shipyard in Kiel. The keels of all four ships were laid down in October and November 1911. The launching took place between March 1913 for SMS König and February 1914 for SMS Kronprinz. When war broke out, none of the ships were operational. The ships were completed in great haste. On July 30, 1914, the SMS Großer Kurfürst was commissioned in the very first days of the war, followed by the SMS König on August 10th. The SMS Markgraf was commissioned on October 1st and the SMS Kronprinz finally on November 8th. Necessary trials delayed their entry into the high seas fleet, meaning the ships missed the first battles of 1914. Initially, this was viewed as critical, as the end of the war was planned for Christmas 1914. However, it quickly became clear that the war would last longer and that the König ships would therefore see action. All ships served in the 3rd Squadron of the High Seas Fleet in the North Sea and were the most powerful ships of the High Seas Fleet until the arrival of SMS Bayern in 1916. SMS König served as the squadron's flagship. In December 1914, SMS König and SMS Großer Kurfürst collided near Wilhelmshaven. The ships sustained minor damage but were operational again by January 1915. In 1914 and 15, the König ship supported the High Seas Fleet in its attempt to lure parts of the British fleet out of port, thereby shifting the balance of power in the North Sea in Germany's long-term favor. This strategy ultimately failed. While cruisers and battlecruisers carried out shore bombardments, the battleships, always following slightly behind, never engaged the enemy as the Royal Navy did not engage the Germans piecemeal. The König ships first encountered the enemy during the Battle of Jutland in the early summer of 1916, the largest naval battle of the First World War. As the most powerful battleships, the König ships led the German fleet. They were therefore also the first battleships capable of engaging the British battle fleet. At 5:46 p.m. on May 31, 1916, the König, Großer Kurfürst and Margrave opened fire on the British battlecruisers Lion, Princess Royal and Tiger at maximum range. The British responded with a destroyer attack. Several destroyers fired torpedoes at the König-class battleships but missed their targets. The destroyers HMS Nestor and HMS Nomad were sunk in the process. Due to her position, the SMS Kronprinz was unable to fire on the same targets and instead participated in the shelling of British light cruisers. Around 6 p.m., all four König ships opened fire on the British Queen Elizabeth-class battleships. However, the faster British battleships quickly evaded the German guns. At 6:09 p.m., the Großer Kurfürst suffered a hit, causing minor damage. At 6:10 p.m., SMS Markgraf was hit several times and sustained minor damage. 400 tons of water entered the ship. At 7 p.m., the battleships of 3rd Squadron attempted to assist the damaged cruiser SMS Wiesbaden. Despite the battleship's efforts, the Wiesbaden could not be saved. The British armored cruiser HMS Defense was sunk, and SMS König received a hit on the stern during the engagement. At around 7:20 p.m., SMS König participated in the shelling of the battleship HMS Warspite. Just a few minutes later, the König was attacked with torpedoes by British light cruisers and destroyers, as well as with heavy gunfire from the British battleship line. The König suffered a hit, and Rear Admiral Behnke, the commander of 3rd Squadron, was slightly injured but remained at his post. The SMS Markgraf was hit several times between 7:30 and 7:45 p.m. A 15-centimeter gun was destroyed, and there were both dead and injured among the gun crew. Another shell hit the port engine and reduced the speed to about 17 knots. After 8 p.m., the German fleet began its withdrawal to avoid a night skirmish with the British battleships. Before nightfall, the SMS König was hit in the stern by a shell from HMS Iron Duke, severely damaging it. The Großer Kurfürst was hit 7 times, 4 times within 1 minute. The SMS Markgraf was also hit and suffered minor damage. During the night, there were repeated torpedo attacks from light British units. The German battleships responded with counterfire from their secondary batteries. At around 2:45 a.m., the Großer Kurfürst scored a critical hit on the destroyer HMS Nessus. At the end of the battle, only the SMS Kronprinz remained undamaged. All of the other König ships had suffered hits. However, the Kronprinz was nearly hit many times. A torpedo exploded just 90 meters behind her, and several shells fell into the water just a few meters away, shaking the ship violently. The SMS König had lost several secondary batteries and their magazines, and over 1,600 tons of water had entered the ship. Despite this, the ship remained operational and reached almost her top speed. In total, the König suffered 45 dead and 27 wounded. By July, the König was operational again. The SMS Großer Kurfürst suffered 15 dead and 10 wounded. 3,000 tons of water had entered the ship and the ship had a 4-degree list. The SMS Markgraf suffered 11 dead and 13 wounded. Overall, it must be said that the armor of the König ships proved its worth in this battle. Despite the numerous hits, the ships remained operational and were able to both fight and maneuver. Lighter armored ships, such as the British battlecruisers and armored cruisers, were sometimes destroyed in a single salvo by the heavy guns of this era. and older battleships, such as the Deutschland-class battleship SMS Pommern, were lost after only one or two torpedo hits. During further advances in 1916, no enemy contact was made. On November 5, 1916, the SMS Großer Kurfürst and the SMS Kronprinz were successfully attacked by the British submarine J-1 during a salvage operation. The rudder of the SMS Großer Kurfürst was damaged and water entered the ship. However, the battleship was able to pull away at 19 knots and was operational again in February 1917. The SMS Kronprinz was hit in the bow and around 250 tons of water entered the ship. However, the Kronprinz was able to pull away without loss of speed and was operational again in December. And yes, I realized that this was 1916, and I just said that there was no enemy contact during that time. But in my defense, both battleships were not able to fire on the enemy, so I let this one count. 1917 was a rather quiet year for the battleships, which were now largely unused or used only for defensive purposes. The König ships had no enemy contact whatsoever. One exception was the deployment of the High Seas Fleet in the Baltic Sea as part of Operation Albion. The German army had made significant progress in the Baltics, but the Russian army had entrenched itself on several islands of Riga and installed powerful artillery batteries. A combined army-navy offensive was intended to capture these islands and neutralize the artillery batteries. In a first step, the SMS König participated in the transport and landing of German troops on Oesel in October 1917. In a second step, the König ships bombarded the Russian coastal batteries and ultimately defeated them. The SMS Großer Kurfürst struck a mine and took on 280 tons of water, but remained operational. On October 17th, the SMS König and the SMS Kronprinz encountered the Russian battleship Slava and Tsarevich, as well as the cruiser Bayern, in the Mon Sound. The König damaged the Slava so severely that the Russians had to abandon it and scuttle it themselves. The Kronprinz hit the Tsarevich and the Bayern several times, forcing them to retreat. Subsequently, the SMS König participated in further landing operations. Operation Albion was successfully concluded at the end of October 1917. On the return journey, the SMS Markgraf struck several mines, but sustained only minor damage. The Kronprinz ran aground and had to be repaired until January 1918. The König also ran aground, but was operational again by November 1917. In June 1918, SMS Kronprinz was renamed SMS Kronprinz Wilhelm in honor of Crown Prince Wilhelm, son of Kaiser Wilhelm II. The König ships were no longer deployed. At the end of October 1918, Fleet Admiral Scheer wanted to deploy the High Seas Fleet once again offensively against the British in order to improve Germany's negotiating position through a naval victory. However, the sailors considered this a suicide mission and refused to obey orders. The mission had to be cancelled. The insubordination contributed to the outbreak of the sailors' revolt in November 1918. After Germany's surrender in November 1918, the König ships were handed over to the Allies and interned at Scapa Flow in Scotland. In the Treaty of Versailles, the victorious powers of the war divided the German fleet among themselves. The German crews responded by scuttling their ships on June 21, 1919. The SMS Großer Kurfürst was raised and scrapped in 1938. Her ship's bell is located in the National Museum of the Royal Navy in Portsmouth, Hampshire. The other three ships were never raised and remain at the bottom of Scapa Flow to this day. They were sold to Great Britain in 1962. Since then, small amounts of steel have been removed, which are used primarily in Geiger counters because they are particularly pure steel with low radioactivity. In 1981, the wrecks were sold to a diving contractor. In 2019, they were resold on eBay to a company in the Middle East for around 28,000 euros per ship.
A few finishing words.
The König-class ships represented another significant leap forward. Their gun arrangement now corresponded to the modern image of battleships, all guns mounted on the ship's center line. They proved their worth in the naval battles of 1916 and 17, demonstrating that their strong armor meant they could withstand heavy fire. They also withstood mine and torpedo hits, which speaks volumes about their excellent underwater protection. Had the König ships not been sunk at Scapa Flow, they could easily have remained in service for decades more. It's bizarre that their remains are now used in Geiger counters.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.